Thanks for joining us. We're Gary and Barb Rosberg, America's Family Coaches. Gary, we've been talking in this series about Guard Your Heart, your new men's edition book, and I am just enjoying listening to you so much. This week in this series, we've talked about a husband's sexual journey, and there's more to cover because as we've been talking, the term that I'd like to come up with is a cul-de-sac sin. And we all know what a cul-de-sac is. It's just sort of a small street where you go and you drive into it and you go kind of around and then come out of it and you go into it and out of it and in and out of it. And have you ever, Gary, thought about sin in that capacity, that when we don't address it, when we don't attack it, when we don't guard against it, there are almost cul-de-sac sins that we keep repeating over and over and over again until truly God takes us through it and breaks us through it? Can you address cul-de-sac sins that men face?
Well, Barb, I think this whole area of sexual temptation, you know, it goes right into that word picture. You know, Barb, it's interesting as we've unpacked this over the last several programs. I quoted, you know, a guy named Tom that one time said that every man has two dogs that live in him. He's got a good dog and a bad dog. And Tom Skinner said, the one that lives is the one that we feed. And I remember I was sitting next to Steve Arterburn from New Life, and we were at a conference, and we were in the workshop with Tom Skinner years ago. And Steve and I both turned to each other like, that is really, really good. And I'm sure Steve's quoted it just like I am today. But you know what, Barb? I quote that not to talk to them. I quote that to talk to me. And so, Barb, am I at risk for a cul-de-sac sin? Yes. Am I at risk for the bad dog raising up? You're doggone right I am. Sorry for the pun on that one. But you know what? We're all at risk. And it's the guy that thinks he's not at risk that really bothers me. And because what happens, Barb, is when I step in to that cul-de-sac, and we live on one, so I'm thinking of our own street, I guess. When I step into that cul-de-sac, it's kind of like I've got my first finger and my middle finger up, and I'm giving the peace sign. And when a man sins, when he goes down, and just take your first finger, your forefinger, and you go from the top of the tip of your finger down to your first knuckle, and many times that's where a man has stepped in to sin. He's in the cul-de-sac. He's on his way there. And what often a man will do, especially around sexual sin, is he will try to discern what his wife knows, or what his kids know, or his accountability partner knows, or what has he gotten caught, his boss knows if he was on pornography at the office. I mean, choose your stuff. And then he'll do what he'll be tempted to do, what I'll be tempted to do, is we jump over to the first knuckle on our middle finger, and then we try to restore to the tip of our middle finger. And so what we do is we short circuit going all the way down to where the first and the second finger connect at the palm of our hand, because that's where we live below the waterline of life, where sin really gets a root.
Well, I think you just defined the cul-de-sac sin was just going down to the first knuckle.
Yeah.
And if you only confess as much as what you think others may know,
yeah,
you're short-circuiting God, and you're also short-circuiting the work that God needs to do in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it takes us all back to the first commandment that says this: you will be blessed or cursed. And if you choose not to walk in blessing, you see, this sin and this contamination will go down to 3 and 4 generations until it's worked out of your family line. So you are opening up your family, your next generations, to the very sin, because you will go through it over and over and over again,
yeah,
until you're fully broken. Gary, talk about what it takes to really be fully broken and go down to the very base and bottom out, as you are writing about and researching about with so much of your new material.
Well, Barbara, I think it comes down to 3 different biblical constructs, and it's humility, it's obedience, and it's courage. And so when a man is willing to move beyond what he's got caught on, that's going to take humility. The antithesis is pride. It means you're going to have to give up your pride, surrender it, step into humility, which means surrender, game up. It takes obedience rather than disobedience. Now, not obedience to your boss or to your wife or to your accountability partner, but obedience to God. See, Proverbs 5 says everything is in full view of the Lord. So you're not fooling God. God knows, he knows every thought before you think it, let alone what you're going to do and what you've done. So it takes that sense of courage, takes that sense of obedience, and it takes that sense of humility, Barb. And when you exercise those three, and again, the opposite of humility, I think, you know, is at the end of the day, or the opposite of courage is being a coward. And I've been a coward. I've held back sin and not confessed it. But when we step into it, that's when God does his best work because he restores us.
Okay, can we talk a little bit about breaking each one of those down? Because there's someone listening, I am certain, that is really wanting to turn in their pride and experience humility. But sometimes you have to have the rug pulled out from underneath you in order to fall on your face and surrender. Can we talk about surrender?
Yeah.
Because sometimes as living sacrifices, as I think we are, we tend to crawl off the altar of God and go, hey, let's do this another day. Talk about surrender, especially to a man who is maybe not wanting to be fully seen or known.
Well, Barbara, I think surrender means that you line up with integrity so that your private self and your public self connect. It means that you confess what God already knows. It means that your plumb line is vertical, not horizontal. So you're not comparing and contrasting yourself with another guy or your wife or your boss or your buddy. You contrast yourself with Christ. It means that you own up. And you know what, Barb? That work isn't done when you're shaking your fist. That work is done when your palms are up and the game is up and you're saying, God, use me for your glory. Use my sin and my confession. It means you do the right thing. Barbara, just means you do the right thing.
Doing the right thing is always the right thing to do.
Doing the right thing is always the right thing to do. And sometimes doing the right thing means that you're going to go through a tough time. But the tough time is there. God's allowing it in order to draw you into full dependence upon him through that confession. And so when we exercise surrender, and we break past that first knuckle, we break past that second knuckle, we get all the way down to that fleshy part at your palm where your first finger and that middle finger both join, Barb, that's when a man bottoms out. And bottoming out, although in outward appearance looks like a terrible place to be, is a great place to be.
It's a beginning place for God.
Because then you're not covering your stuff. And again, we have to realize God already knows our stuff, guys. So with the sexual temptation, all we're doing is agreeing with God and we're bringing to light. And when you're in the light and you're confessed, you don't have to think up what you're going to say. You don't have to cover your tracks because there are no tracks. The tracks are clear. And now, the person you offended, your wife, your employer, your accountability partners, your kids, you know, whomever it is, now you've got to deal with all the consequences. And are the consequences sometimes dire? Yes, they are. Is there sometimes the breaking of a covenant? Yes, there is. Can it lead to the break of relationship? Yes, it can. But would you rather have those consequences in the light and you're confessed and surrendered so God can use you from that point on where you're sold out for Jesus Christ, even though you're dealing with the consequences, you're dealing with it through truth? Or would you rather cover your stuff and live with a life that doesn't experience intimacy, doesn't experience authenticity, doesn't experience the real deal because your sin has been hidden? So what's the impact at the end of the day, guys, of giving into the lust of the flesh? Well, let's go back to the wisdom of the Bible because here's what Solomon wrote. At the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and body are spent, you will say, "How I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly." And guys, I don't want to go there, and neither do you. You want a battle plan? Go to the book, Guard Your Heart, Men's Edition, and AmericasFamilyCoaches.com.